morning, class.
Morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed and my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. The scripture says in Hebrews that the Lord is the apostle and high priest of our confession. He works with what we say. And that's why we like to start the class off. There's no need in being halfway, two-thirds through the class before we decide to start believing, okay, I'm getting something. Might as well, right? From the very beginning, release your faith. That means you're believing with me, and we're all believing together for utterance, for direction, for quickening. Say it again. My spirit.
My spirit
is being fed.
Is being fed.
My faith is growing stronger.
Is growing stronger.
I'm learning how to overcome.
How to
be victorious.
How to walk with
God.
And please God.
Hallelujah. I'm growing in this. I'm learning. We're not just wasting time. Not spinning our wheels. We're making progress.
Amen.
Well, Father, we do. We ask you for the utterance and direction and answers for today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We've been on a series now for a number of weeks that we're calling Faith for Provision. And the way you get faith is by hearing. And faith in God comes from hearing what he said. Faith for provision doesn't come from just hearing anything. It comes from hearing what he said relative to provision, relative to material things, financial things, abundance. What's his will? If God really wants us to be broke and poor, well, quit playing with it and be seriously poor. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
No, see, people don't, they'll say things like that, but then they turn right around and try to get out of it.
Yeah.
If you really believed it was God's will for you to be sick, you shouldn't go to the doctor and try to get better. That's trying to get out of the will of God. But no, we don't believe that. Go to the doctor. Do whatever you can to help yourself, right? They're fighting the same enemy we are, doing it from the natural side. Use the spiritual and the natural,
right?
But is it God's will for you to be sick or healed? Quit, you know, mixing them together and wondering, well, maybe it is. It's all complicated. No, it's not complicated. God never changes. His will is his will. Don't believe the lies, men's religious ideas and concepts that are not in line with the Word of God. You can read, and if you can't, learn how quick, and get your Bible, and Amen. Write, and the Holy Spirit will help you. You can. People say, well, you can't understand the Bible. You come too late to tell me that.
Yeah.
No. Why would God give it to us?
Right.
He gave you the author of the book
Amen.
To live inside
Yes.
you, to help you to understand
Yes.
it. And he is the greatest teacher in the universe. It's not, you know, that you have to be so brilliant and amazing. He's such an amazing teacher. He can teach you anything. He knows how you think. He knows exactly how to say it to you, what examples to use, how to show you. You can get it.
Yes.
Say it out loud. I can get it.
I can get it.
I am getting
it. I am getting it.
Well, we've been getting reasons why we are sure. It's God's will. We started with the Lord is my shepherd, number one. We're down to number 19 in our study, the tabernacle. Go to Exodus, the 35th chapter again, if you would. Exodus 35. We're saying we're sure. Abundant provision's always God's will for us all. One reason, because of his tabernacle that he gave directions to Moses and his people to make, and the specifications he gave them, and the materials he chose and required. And it is the tabernacle is a tent. It's a portable structure. that you could take down, pack up, carry, and then set back up in another location, which is what they did for year after year. And the dollar value of what they spent on this tent is big. It's scores of millions by today's money. And a lot of people would say, you know, today, if they didn't know that was in the Bible and reading it there, and one of us did something like that in modern times, oh man, people would scoff, they would mock, they would say, that's ridiculous. That just makes me, they spent how much on a tent? And all you tent preachers out there say hallelujah. God does not mind spending big money, even on temporary things, structures and what have you, if it accomplishes His will. If it accomplished His will, you can't spend too much on it by the relative difference of the value of eternal things versus the value of money. Can you see what I'm saying? You can't waste money accomplishing God's will. Now, if it wasn't God's will, no matter how tight you squeeze the budget, it's all wasted. Huh? The whole thing's wasted if the Lord didn't tell you to do it. But if it accomplished His will, it didn't matter what you spend. And if it's going to represent Him, it needs to be top notch. It needs to be the best. Somebody say the best.
The best.
Now, you know, Exodus 35, we looked at this yesterday's class, but let's look at it further. He told them to bring all these materials to build the tabernacle. Exodus 35:5, take from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. Now, this was not something that people were forced to do, are forced to give. You'll find he mentions this phrase, willing heart, willing offering, willing heart. It must be 20 times throughout these chapters. He keeps on insisting, willing. Willing. Why? Because if it's not willing, it's not acceptable to Him. And didn't He say in the New Testament, in Corinthians, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Well, He never changes. He's the same now as He was then. So if you're going to give Him something and you're going to give something in an offering, do not do it grudgingly. Do not, you know, put something in the offering plate or whatever and follow it with your eyes as it goes away. And you're thinking, oh man, I could have used that. Well, for all the good it's going to do you, you might as well have kept it. Because just even though men might accept it, that doesn't mean God accepted it. And it's the heart of the giver that makes the gift acceptable or unacceptable. Everybody say willing.
Willing.
Willing heart. And so He said, let him bring gold, silver, brass, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen. And He went on, verse 9, onyx stones, stones to be set in the ephod. And in verse 21, they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Part of this were the clothes for the high priest to wear. And you talk about fancy clothes. Whew. Part of the materials for the clothes, their robes, was actually literally gold thread. Not gold-colored cotton thread. They beat gold into thin, thin, thin sheets, and then they made threads out of them. And they put threads in parts of the clothes. And you talk about, wow. When you see Aaron step out with the mitre and the ephod and the breastplate. And for one thing, they had the big onyx stones that were set in gold sockets on their shoulders. And that had the names of the tribes of Israel. And then on the breastplate was four rows of big jewels, big diamonds and rubies and sapphires, 12 of them, four rows of three. And all of that was gold. And what was holding it was ropes of pure gold that was holding it. And it got, and the cloth was the most beautiful blues and golds and silvers, and it was the finest fabric, the finest linen that you could get. And I, you know, people have told me before, well, God don't care how we dress. I said, He used to.
Yeah.
He used to. It's not about being haughty or showy or flashy. It's about God's preference, God's taste, God's choice. The big question in all of these things, is God real?
Yes.
Is He real?
Yes.
Does He exist?
Yes.
Well, if He does, who is He? What does He like?
Yeah.
What's His will?
Mm-hmm.
What you do? People say, well, it's a mystery. How about reading the book?
Yes.
It gets a lot less mysterious.
Yeah.
If you just read what He said, because according to the Word, He said, this is what I want.
Yes.
This is what I want in my tabernacle. Later on, He said a similar thing about His temple. This is what I want my priests to wear. And this is what I how I want them to look and how I want them to conduct themselves.
Yeah.
And we're talking money. Ooh, we're talking serious money. But that was God's choice. Now think about this. When people, you know, and you hear people bring it up, and like I've already said, people say, well, yeah, but that could have been given to the poor. That is a quote from Judas Iscariot. Is that the company you want to be in?
No.
Do you want to quote Judas Iscariot?
No.
People are doing it. Church people are doing it. Preachers are doing it. And here's my question. Did God having a tabernacle like this prevent Him from feeding somebody?
No.
Huh?
No.
Does that cut Him so short on resources that somebody's going to go hungry?
No.
Because God's using too much gold.
No.
In No. 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 God did not create a planet that cannot sustain its inhabitants.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, there is starvation. There is drought. There is famine. But it's not God's fault. And if everybody on this planet would seriously come to God and bow their knee, He could fix it all in days.
Yes.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
I mean, God would fix it. All you got to do is get some rain.
That's right.
And the drought's over.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes.
You got rain. You got crops.
Yes.
Now you got food. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
The problem is not that there's not enough.
Right.
Don't believe that lie. You'll find that the ungodly world is continually pushing this narrative, this message that we're running out.
Mm-hmm.
We're running out. We're not going to be enough. Not going to be enough water. Not going to be enough air. Not going to be enough food. Not going to be enough. Not going to be enough. Not going to be enough to get inside you this fear of running out. And of course, what happens if everybody gets panicky about running out? Then they get mean. Can you hear that? They get mean. They get to wanting to hurt each other and take from each other. And who wants humanity at each other's throat? Killing each other over land and food and what? That's the devil. I said, that's the devil. No, there's more than enough. Come on, say it out loud. There's more than enough. Way more than enough.
Way more than enough.
Did you know there's more fish in the sea?
Yes.
Than all the billions of the earth can ever eat. Oh, yes.
Yes.
There more bananas fall off the trees in the jungle and rot than the monkeys will ever be able to eat. Huh? There's actually too much stuff when you realize the truth. Too much for what's needed at the time. Don't believe the lies. Don't believe the lies. You know, human beings have had a bad habit of wanting to pile on top of each other and all live in the same one spot and forsake God and not have blessing and have curse. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that this planet is barren and can't sustain us.
Right.
Somebody say more than enough, more than enough.
More than enough.
Verse 22 says they came, both men and women, as many as were willing hearted. And they brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold to the Lord. And every man that had blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair, that some of that's cashmere. And red skins of rams and badger skins. That's the dugong, the marine animal. And all of them brought offerings of silver and brass. And the shittim wood, the acacia wood, and the women of wise hearts, they spun with their hands. They spun the fabrics themselves. And the Bible tells that God gave them wisdom. He put wisdom in them to know how to do it, to know how to... They cut the stones. They engraved the works. They wove the gold threads in the clothes and all that. God gave them the wisdom. And the Bible even talks about two individuals in particular that he said God put his spirit in them to show them how to do things and how to handle the metals and all that kind of thing. So not only will God give you the materials worth millions and millions of dollars, he'll put the wisdom in you.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
The knowledge. Yes. The understanding, the wisdom, how to use it, and how to get done what he wants done with it. In verse 29, the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Do you notice how he keeps mentioning that? Willing, willing. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing, in case you didn't get it the first time, to bring all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And Moses said to the children of Israel, what we were just talking about, the Lord is called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. He's filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. And then verse 34, also he put in his heart, he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, the tribe of Dan. He filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work, engraver, cunning workman, embroiderer, and... everything that needed to happen. They said cunning work, that would have to do with skill and artisanship, craftsmanship. You really don't have the beautiful creative without inspiration of God.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? Now people can do evil stuff, dark stuff artistically, but not beautiful, not good. And the inspiration can come only from good. And so in chapter 36, verse 3, they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. So this went on many days. And every morning, here comes some more gold, some more silver, some more precious stones. And I said, what's in that bag? Some diamonds. What's in that bag? Some emeralds. What's this? Well, it's four talents, and a talent was like a 75 to 100 pound piece of gold. Another talent of gold. And every morning... And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary, they came every man from his work which they had made. And they spake to Moses and they said, verse 5, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. This is the will of God.
Yes.
I said, this is the will of God. When you have to tell people, no, stop. Stop. Quit. You gotta quit giving on this for now. No. No, we're way out beyond it. Stop. Stop bringing. Instead of begging people to give. Oh, come on. Can you see this? What a vast difference. Not begging. Oh, if you don't give, we're not going to make it. Come on. What's wrong with y'all? Y'all need to do something. What are you waiting on? That's wrong. Don't do that. Don't talk that way. Our leader's job is to hear from God. Get the vision. Isn't that what Moses did? He spent time with God. He heard from God. And he said, this is what the Lord said. Bring offerings. What for? And I mean chapters. Is that right? Chapters of what for. We're going to do this. They had them a sanctuary project. Right? And a priest's garment project. All of it was together. And he said, he described the articles. He described the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat and the cherubim and the table and the showbread and the candlestick and the incense place and the laver and the burnt offering and all the curtains and all of the beautiful rods and planks. And I mean, he told them and they could see it. Is that right? They, as he's describing it to them, they could see it. And I'm telling you, people started bringing, and they kept bringing until they piled the stuff up. And the people said, come on, we don't got any room to put anything up. Tell the people, stop bringing. And so they restrained them from bringing, verse 7, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and two much.
Hallelujah.
I said, a gold tent? That's just too much. You got that right. It is just too much. And that's exactly what God wanted.
Amen.
He wanted a too much tent.
Yes.
And the people brought a too much offering.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And we're going to see before it's over, it was too much glory.
Ooh.
Come on, can you see this? A too much tent, a too much offering, and too much glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
The stuff they had, the people were restrained from bringing. We need changes in a lot of our offerings, in our churches, in our ministries. It's not just about need. And it's not just about, it's certainly not about seeing how cheaply you can get by. And to my knowledge, there'll be no rewards past this life for who saved the most money. Who saved the most money? I know some years ago I was seeking the Lord about a particular project, and I was thinking maybe this was a little much amount-wise. And the Lord spoke to my heart. I didn't expect it. I don't mean I heard a voice, but inside me, He said, Keith, I don't care how much it costs. Just get it done.
Yes. Come on.
Well, that's how a multi-trillionaire might talk, right? Well, God's richer than that, right?
Exactly.
He said, does He care?
No.
Now, I don't want to waste $5 because that's somebody's offering.
Yes.
Y'all understand that?
Yes.
But at the same time, we're not supposed to scrimp corners to the point where, well, we saved the Lord a lot of money because we bought the cheapest carpet. Well, time you replace it three times, it ain't the cheapest carpet. You see what I'm saying? And there's a lot of other things that go with that. But we've had people remark at our churches more than once that they went to the bathroom. And the bathroom was nice. And it was clean. And had some nice soaps there and things. Little things can make a difference.
Yes.
And somebody wrote and said they decided to come back a second time because the ushers had a coat on and a tie. And they looked nice. And the parking lot attendant was nice to them. and look nice. It's not about being show off, but it is about representing the God who is the best of the best. And He does the best. He gives the best. We should give our best. We should do our best. Now, we're all at different places. And maybe your best is not the highest level on the scale of nice things, but God looks at your heart. And if it's the best you can do, He accepts it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But then you believe God to step up. I said you believe God to step up. And so they made these articles. And if you skip over to the, the 38th chapter, I believe it is. There's so much here to shout about and talk about. I tell you, for time's sake, look at the 39th chapter. Exodus 39, they made, verse 2, the ephod of gold, blue, purple. They beat the gold into thin plates and cut it into wires to work in the blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. They made shoulder pieces and the curious girdle. Now, that's a girdle is just something that went around you. It's like a belt. Gold, blue, purple, scarlet, fine twined linen. They worked the onyx stones in ouches, or that's settings of gold. Signets were graven with the names of the children of Israel. They put them on the shoulders of the ephod. They made the breastplate of cunning work, and it was four square. And they set, verse 10, four rows of stones. The first row was sardius, a topaz, a carbuncle. The second row, an emerald, a sapphire, a diamond. The third row, a ligure, an agate, an amethyst. The fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, a jasper. And they were all enclosed in ouches or settings of gold. And verse 15, they made the breastplate at the ends in pure gold. Were they decked out?
Yes.
Or were they? They decked out. And whose choice was that? Who picked that? Is He the same today?
Yes.
He has not changed. And we're out of time. We'll come back tomorrow, come back next time, and let's find out some more about this amazing, rich God we have.
I've got a victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.